The date is June 17th, 1999, and we're watching Big Daddy. Welcome to I Used to Like This One.
Hello and welcome to I Used to Like This One, the show where we take a look back at movies we remember fondly from our childhood and attempt to look past the nostalgia to see if they still hold up. My name is Sean Wells, and while regular co-hosts Colin Stewart and Aaron Knowles are away, I'm doing my special Daddy Issues Month, diving into complicated father-son relationships, so I've brought with me my own son, the Scuba Steve, to my Scuba Sam!
That's good, that's good. I thought I was going to be called Frankenstein, but that works too, yeah.
So yes, Chris Wells joining us again. So this week we're looking back at June 1999, again with 1999, when the movies and theaters were The General's Daughter, Run Lola Run, subject of last week's episode, Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Nice.
Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace.
Yes, yes.
And of course, our movie for today, Big Daddy, which earned a staggering $234.8 million on a $34.2 million budget. I'm surprised that it's even a $34 million budget. I mean, but...
Well, this one he partnered with a big studio for it, right?
Yeah, I mean, this is a Sony's picture.
So, yeah.
Yeah, this is actually the last one that isn't a Happy Madison movie
right.
for Adam Sandler. Yeah.
Right, so yeah, if you haven't seen the movie, it is 25 years old, but if you haven't, take a second to maybe go watch it if you're a fan of Adam Sandler, but yeah, without further ado, spoilers ahead.
There we go. So, I found two taglines for the poster this week. The first one, nature called, look who answered.
I guess that references all the pissing in this movie.
Yeah, and the poster itself is him and the child facing the wall.
Yeah.
So, and number two, once you adopt a kid, you've got to keep him.
I mean, probably a general rule, yeah.
It's a good general rule for life, absolutely. Well, may not be a very good description, so let's go to Chris and get a 60-second synopsis.
All right. Try this one on for size. Adam Sandler, as you've never seen him before. In this movie, we see him play a casually sexist, hockey-loving slob with terrible anger problems named Sonny. In this one, he's got a job that his beautiful wife-slash-girlfriend doesn't like at all, while trying to navigate a strained relationship with a kid. Sounds fucking rough. Hopefully he doesn't have to learn his lesson so he can continue being an asshole. We're just one racist Rob Schneider impression away from an Adam Sandler bingo. Wait a second, bingo! After a brief misunderstanding with social services, Sonny accidentally kidnaps Zach and Cody from John Stewart after he abruptly moves to China. You know, your classic misunderstanding. Eventually, Sonny comes around to fatherhood in his own right, as social services realizes they've given a child to a larger child. They take him back, just as Sonny had tricked Chasing Amy into being the boy's mom. Finally, after a useless custody battle with the most stacked legal team, Sonny gets his buddy-slash-wingman back. Yay!
The end. Right on. Yeah, so, I mean, Big Daddy was one of those movies. I mean, I love Adam Sandler. I mean, I've always had Adam Sandler movie posters up in the house. I'm a big fan of Happy Gilmore. And Adam Sandler, back to his SNL days, I was a big fan of. So when this movie came out, I was part of that $200 million. And, you know, it was exciting to see this movie. So, and I loved it then. And, I mean, it's... You bring up a lot of very good points in your 60-second synopsis, but, you know, I do still enjoy it. I mean, I've always had a soft spot for Adam Sandler, and so he can't do much wrong in my eyes.
Yeah, no, my synopsis doesn't really show that I did really enjoy this movie, but It was all right, but yeah. I wrote the synopsis the day after watching it and was able to just, yeah, poke it full of holes. It was
a little bit more reflective, yeah.
It was cute in the meantime. There's a lot that got under my skin, though, yeah. I'll admit, while I watched it. It's just, yeah, we'll get into it.
Well, what about history? Do you have a history with Big Daddy? Other than,
The poster hung in the house.
Yeah?
Yeah. I could have sworn I've seen it, but after watching it, like, a lot of parts were familiar, but... as a whole, it wasn't really familiar, so yeah. I wonder if I have seen it.
Yeah, I mean, you probably definitely remember, like, get the kid a Happy Meal and stuff like that. Is that one of the... No.
I don't even remember the parts that I, like... Oh, yeah, okay. Just some of it was vaguely familiar. Okay. I can't tell
I've
seen this.
I've watched movies like that around yeah. here. So, well, let's jump in to Big Daddy. Directed by Dennis Dugan, who was the director on Happy Gilmore. Produced by Sid Gaines and Jack... Oh my god, he's like Mr. Adam Sandler producer, right? Like, it's I wish I knew how to pronounce his name properly.
Okay.
It's too Italian for me. And Adam Sandler, of course, is an executive producer on this one, written by Steve Franks, Tim Herlihy, and Adam Sandler, of course.
Right,
yeah. So we open this movie with a phone call from his dad, and you know, we open the movie with a montage of finding out how useless this lead character is.
Yeah, just lazing around, eating cereal, watching cartoons, acting like a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I found that with this movie, actually, they were really good at just they gave you the right amount of information, and they placed it very well.
Right.
Because like this phone call with his dad is such a distinct way of opening this movie. That when he comes in at the end and is calling his son a dumbass,
yeah,
it's you're like, oh yeah, yeah, right. He hates this guy. I forgot, right? Or like, you
right,
know,
yeah.
Like it stands out to you.
You know, we learn that he can laze about because he got a huge settlement from a cab company.
Oh, that's the life.
Yeah, just get your foot run over, spend a day in the hospital. He yeah. makes $200,000 in 1999, which adjusted for inflation now is close to $400,000. It's $375,000 in 2024 money.
He lives awfully extravagantly for...
He's got a few lawyer roommates, but those lawyers are just recently, you know, joining the workforce.
Yeah, exactly.
They're broke
so, I mean,
students.
That's a pretty impressive New York apartment.
Like
for,
a penthouse.
Yeah, for four guys that are essentially in law school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, John Stewart got a job in China. We yeah. don't know if he had been working before then. I assume so. They don't make his first gig in China.
Well, see, but it's my impression that John Stewart isn't actually like taking a job in China. He just has to go to China for a while for his job. But I don't
right.
think
he's just
I don't
a part
think
of an
he's
English
permanently
company.
Relocating. Yeah.
Fair enough. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, he does come back eventually, so that would yeah.
Yeah. And not just because
right,
of the
yes.
trial of the century.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, okay, we've met our hero for this movie, so let's take a quick look at the cast list. Adam Sandler as Sonny Koufax. Jim Carrey was offered the role, of course, because, you know, the other 90s darling. But I guess Chris Farley was actually attached to it at one point, but died
right
before it could be made. And Ben Stiller was also someone that they thought about. So you know, all the 90s darlings.
Makes
you know?
Sense, yeah. yeah.
Joey Lauren Adams as Layla Maloney, as you said, I mean, Chasing Amy.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing I know her from, Chasing Amy and Mallrats, like the
yeah.
Miss Universe. Yeah. She's been in a couple other things, but...
Sure, I'll take your word for it.
Yeah. John Stewart, young John Stewart is Kevin Garrity. Like, if you've seen him with his
no
revival
way, hair,
of The
yeah.
Daily Show, yeah, he's so young in this one. I guess Pauly Shore, Matthew Broderick, and Brendan Fraser, Academy Award winner Brendan Fraser, were all up for the role of Kevin Garrity. Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Pauly Shore's a weird one, but...
Yeah. Now, here's where we get into the buddies. We've got Alan Covert as Phil D'Amato. We've got Rob Schneider as the racist stereotype for this movie.
Whatever he is, yeah.
He's Nazo. He's the food delivery guy. Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, we've got Josh Mostel as Arthur Brooks. I guess, like, I recognize him from Office Space. He's the psychiatrist in Office Space, but
right,
and
okay.
he's also the revolting blob, I think, isn't he? In Billy Madison, isn't that the
good
same guy?
Good question.
I don't remember, but they were looking at Wayne Knight, as a possibility for this. So, I mean, they wanted the same guy. But I guess Phil Hartman was up for this, but got murdered.
Yes.
And Rob Reiner, Gary Shandling. But most interestingly, Christopher Shooter McGavin McDonald was someone that they decided they couldn't use him.
Right.
Because they're like, we're sorry.
We just used
Adam Sandler movie, you're always going to be Shooter McGavin.
Fair enough, like, I guess.
You can't be the social worker, too. Yeah. We've got Dylan and Cole Sprouse as Julian McGrath, the ultimate glow-up of the 2020s, right? Is the Sprouse brothers. Aren't they, like, super hot and like, you know, action stars now or some shit? Or
I don't think so. The one's in Riverdale and the other does
that's
like
where...
photography or some shit.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Riverdale was what one of them is. Yeah, but I thought he was also like...
Oh,
he
the,
got a
he,
Marvel
there is,
job, didn't
right,
he?
Dylan, I think he did a like an action movie or something recently. I vaguely remember photos of him in like a suit and fighting or I don't know.
Yeah. So Leslie Mann as Corinne Maloney, Jonathan Loughran as Mike, Peter Dante as Tommy Grayson, some more of the buddies. Christy Swanson looking so fine in this movie as Vanessa. I mean...
Yeah, his beautiful girlfriend,
My
yeah.
God, yeah. Like, Adam Sandler has impossibly hot women as his love interests in these movies. Right?
Like, yeah. Just... avoiding all those red flags. I don't know how they put up with this disgusting slob.
Yeah. It was the same with Happy Gilmore because, I mean,
he had a couple
of hot girlfriends in that movie,
Pixels,
too.
Pixels.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
There's 100 examples.
Oh, all of the examples.
Yeah. That's My Boy.
Yeah. I already said Billy Madison.
Madison,
So... Joseph Bologna as... Bologna, I don't know, would you just say, as Lenny Koufax's
Bologna.
Dad. Yeah, Bologna. Bill Murray, Jack Nicholson, Steve Martin, Christopher Lloyd, Dustin Hoffman were all possibilities for Lenny Koufax.
All right.
And of course, you know, Steve Buscemi as a homeless guy, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Homeless guy with the McDonald's product placement, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and Dennis Dugan, the director, is actually in this as well. He's the unprepared Halloween guy that Sonny meets up.
Nice.
Yeah. And the Columbo episode that they're watching in the show, he's also in that episode of Columbo.
Oh.
Yeah.
Nice.
So he's on screen twice.
Tooting his own horn right there, yeah.
Yeah. Writer Tim Herlihy is the singing kangaroo.
Okay.
And shout out to Jackie Sandler as well, Adam Sandler's wife, who is now in all of his movies as well. She's the root beer waitress. So.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. So there we go. I mean, huge cast for this, but I mean, it's all like the Adam Sandler standards.
Just a lot of famous friends, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And really not as many famous friends as his movies have these days. Like,
you've got
the Rob Schneider appearance. Where's the David Spade appearance? Or where's the...
Well, this one, he's not in charge of casting or whatever,
that's
right?
That's true, yeah. It's
he's
not
got
a Happy
producers,
Madison.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's also in New York instead of on an island.
Yeah. So, yeah, Vanessa is what we get to, is the next person we get to meet immediately. She has slept in because Sunny decided to turn off her alarm and she's late for
her actual job, yeah.
Yeah. And I do still love the line, what, you need a father figure? Stop pulling your sister's hair! I thought that was a great line. Still
nice.
A great line. Vanessa has daddy issues. And of course, you know, we find out that his best friend is basically the delivery guy.
Yeah.
Or his best acquaintance, because I guess he does have friends, but...
Well, he's got friends, but they all work during the day.
Yeah.
Like, he's just desperate for a buddy. That's all this movie really is about.
Yeah.
He just has to, like, train that buddy first, unfortunately.
Yeah, so as Vanessa's storming out, we get Rob Schneider playing some vaguely ethnic person. Like
somebody from Russia, one of the stands,
Middle
East. Who knows?
Doesn't it look like he's doing brown face?
Well, he's always got a... some sort of smudge on his face or I don't know.
Yeah,
but...
like, I mean, I know that Rob Schneider can kind of get away with some of these because he's got, like, this mixed race. He's got Asian and he's got, like, Latino, I think. Like, I think he's, like, Filipino mixed with, like, Mexican or something. Like, he's got...
With a name like Schneider, that's what I would have guessed.
He's got quite a multicultural background. Well, see, that's the thing that's wild about Rob Schneider, but he's got a very multicultural background. So he feels like he can get away with anything vaguely racial. Like, it's...
Whatever.
Oh, there's Rob Schneider.
Just a lame joke.
Basically being the you can do it guy, you know, in a longer form.
Yeah.
So we find out that Sonny does work, though. He works one day a week in a toll booth.
Yep.
Yeah. I like the idea of hitching a ride home to save the guy 75 cents.
Yeah, no, that was fun. Just to, yeah.
Where are you going? Back to the city?
Yeah. You get to save cab fare. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be a good perk of the job. I wonder how... like many times it actually
works.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Sonny, after his shift in the toll booth, he comes home to the surprise party. We wasted the good surprise on you.
That was good. I'm surprised that they didn't like immediately reset. Like everybody just kind of, yeah, just started to like mingle again. And of course they mess up the second one because it was their fault, really.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they could have re-hidden. They could have closed the door again.
Well, it wasn't, yeah, hiding. Yeah. And just...
Quick, close the door again. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And then during this party, we get the 1999 view of being gay, where it's definitely played as a punchline in 1999 more than... Like, it's played for shock value more than anything.
Yeah, and it kept coming up. Like, just the whole movie, I was like, is this homophobe bit gonna have a payoff? Like, is the one homophobe in the friend group eventually gonna be, like, walking out in a robe with the other two guys?
It does have a very weird feeling to it all, yeah, because it feels like they're celebrating it because Sonny is okay with it and all that sort of stuff, but... On the other hand, it really does feel like it's often played as the, oh, but those guys are making out. Don't come near me. You know, the one super homophobic friend.
Well, it's not even that. It's not playful. It's just, yeah, it's just he finds it gross and doesn't want to address. Like, there's just that one scene at the urinal where he's just afraid they're going to look at his junk. So he just like.
Yeah, that's the punching down joke that they have in there where, he's one urinal over because he doesn't want to be next to them. Yeah. So I
just, if it was set up for a payoff, like maybe, but it's just a really weird bit.
Yeah. Just a running thing that doesn't, like you said, doesn't pay off. So, and we also get the proposal that Sonny ruins. After finally talking his fiancée-to-be out of the bathroom.
Yeah.
Yeah, we get this, you're not going to propose, are you? Dr. Big Boobs McGee. Yeah. Yeah. So, and then we get, like, the crux of the whole story. We get the complicated father-son. In this case, I mean, we've already seen the long-lost father with Dr.
Right.
Evil. We've seen the dead parents with Bruce Wayne. You know, the revenge story.
Right.
In this case, we get the classic guy pretending to be someone else in order to take over a child's life.
Classic?
Classic. If I had a nickel for every time that story played out in a Hollywood movie, I mean... This is just one in a line of thousands of movies where...
We always... Yeah, we all get into tricky hang-ups, I guess.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Classic.
I think my favorite character of the movie might be the guy that drops off the kid.
Right. He's just there for a couple of bucks.
Yeah.
Some
guy paid me $5 to drop him off. See ya. Like he's.
And drop him off from where?
Yeah.
Like, did he just bring him up the elevator from fucking Buffalo?
Yeah. Like.
Couple bucks?
Yeah, couple bucks. Yeah. Like, did he meet him at the Greyhound station?
Yeah.
Or did the child services guy send him over?
Yeah, pay this kid off the street.
Courier?
Yeah.
Did he put him in his basket on his bike?
Yeah, with the tinfoil on the inside. The reflective lining.
He's DoorDasher. Yeah. But yeah, no, we get our kid dropped off. But when Sonny decides to call John Stewart, how amazing is John Stewart's cell phone? That was like the highest end 1999 cell phone.
Oh, yeah?
I loved it. I don't know. It must be. I mean, it's got that arm that comes down.
Oh.
Like it's a headset, but, you know, so.
I feel like I wasn't paying attention to that. I must have missed it, yeah.
Oh, it was beautiful old tech.
Okay.
I loved it. Yeah. But Sonny decides, no, I'll take care of it.
Yeah, I wonder how much how many of us miss out on the fun Adam Sandler romp with just you know, solving it over the phone. This could have been so easily solved over the phone.
If he had just let Kevin come home or...
Well, yeah, Kevin come home. If he really was going to solve it, like, later on, he could have been like, hey, look, I've got this perfect job idea. What if I'm your nanny for your son? The wife is dead. We found out she was dead. Just seeing, or not the wife, the mom is dead, so...
There you go.
But how many of us solve the problem and we miss out on this fun romp? It's tragic.
That's true. No, and there are clearly solutions to that. Yeah, I mean, even something as simple as calling social services and saying, hey, the father just left for China.
Yeah.
He has given me charge. Like, I feel like social services might listen to that story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then we don't get our 90-minute Adam Sandler blockbuster.
Yeah. And, you know, and with fraud charges that never stick and...
You know, just a useless fucking court battle.
Yeah, he does impersonate someone. I mean, but, you know, the father refuses to press charges, so problem solved.
Fucking Jon Stewart should have just said that when he walked into the courtroom.
Yeah. And why is he hanging out in the back? Yeah.
Six lawyers for a custody battle.
So his Sonny's idea of taking care of the kid, though, is going down to Central Park and watching the rollerbladers fall down.
Yeah, turning the kid into a sociopath. Yeah, that's how you pass the
immediately
time.
Immediately teaching all sorts of bad habits.
Just terrible. Yeah. Pissing on buildings.
Yeah.
Half this movie is fucking piss.
Yeah.
It got on my nerves after, like, the first bit, cute, good poster.
Yeah.
Why the return? So much piss in this movie.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've had kids.
Sure, kids pee.
Kids pee a lot.
But it's just not funny after a certain point. It's just like, ugh, move on.
Yeah, but they only did it twice.
They didn't do it twice. They did it so many fucking times. Oh, well, this kid's okay, always right, pissing.
There's also the classroom. Yeah, he's pushing.
He pisses in the plant. Yeah. He pisses in his bed. They piss on two different buildings.
That's true. Yeah,
he pisses in the park.
See, I was thinking specifically on the building. They only do that twice.
They only do that bit twice, but it's the laziest shit in the world. It's the exact same bit.
I never really considered how many pee jokes actually are in this movie.
It's,
and you're right,
just
yes.
Throughout. It's the only through line in this movie.
Yeah.
It's just piss. It's just so much. And then the restaurant bit, the one on the building is just the perfect example because it's the laziest thing. They literally just shoved the same bit. It's like they got two different takes with the two twins and we're like, well, fuck you, use both of them, I guess.
It's a different restaurant.
It's an Indian restaurant this time, you're right.
That's right, yeah.
Just ridiculous. So lazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, his night with him, you know, it involves him saying, you know, questioning him about being able to wipe his own ass then and... Yeah, and putting a live nude sign as a nightlight.
That was a good gag. I like that gag.
Yeah.
Because he's not going to read it. Just, it's there for light. It's a good light. Why not?
Yeah. But see, I don't know. I mean, I guess I was still there for all the piss jokes. Because just the idea of putting down the newspaper. Like, how useless Sonny is.
The newspaper, again, there's lots of bits in this movie that pay off. They do it a few times, and then there's a payoff. I wish the homophobe bit had anything. But this newspaper one eventually has the payoff because the teacher in the classroom is like, Frankenstein, or Julian, was putting newspaper down on a glue spill in class.
Yeah.
He just covered it up with newspaper.
Yeah. And I mean, it pays off. It even pays off immediately when the kid, you know, they're fine, I'm up, and they go to get breakfast, and the kid spills the milk. Yeah, yeah. And just put newspaper on it.
Well,
so
that's a lead up to the threes. He's teaching the kid. Yeah.
Rules of three. Yeah.
But it's just too much. He pisses on two different trees, two different buildings.
Yeah.
The bed.
Yeah, the plants. Yeah, he's the smelly kid. Yeah. Well, the kid is literally crying over spilled milk, and you know, but Sonny manages to injure himself, and that gets the kid smiling again. And he decides, well, okay, we'll just go get breakfast because he hasn't been up before 11 a.m.
in
years.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so he's gonna go get the kids some breakfast. And of course, where's he going for breakfast?
I was gonna say he's going to Sponsorship Corner.
He's going to Sponsorship Corner. Oh boy. Yeah, this one's a big one this week. Always on the lookout for product placements in movies. This week, Big Daddy is brought to you by Cadillac, Chevrolet, and Mercedes vehicles, FedEx, Life, Cap'n Crunch and Crunchberry cereals, Fritos, Cheetos, Lay's, Ruffles, and Pringles chips, Ritz, Goldfish, and Pepperidge Farms crackers. Pepperidge Farms remembers. Campbell's Soup, Heinz Ketchup, and SpaghettiOs, Jell-O, Pepsi Cola, and Slice Soda, Budweiser and Bud Light beers, Yoo-Hoo chocolate drink, Johnson & Johnson's, Adidas shoes, Polo and Calvin Klein clothing, Everlast boxing gloves, Belt Atlantic, the board game Battleship, Space Station pinball machine, the teams New York Jets, Rangers and Knicks, and the Toronto Blue Jays, Sports Illustrated magazine, Cozy Soup and Kitchen, and it's also got the name Soup and Burger, but yes, it's a real place. He actually shouts it out in the credits. There's like Adam says, thanks Cozy's, or yeah, like I guess this Cozy's place where Rob Schneider's character is from,
right,
is a legitimate place. Sony Electronics, because Caucasians are too damn tall, McDonald's restaurant, and of course, Hooters restaurant, plus the possibly fictional restaurant Felix and the Great India. I mean, though I doubt they're real because otherwise people are going to recreate those pee scenes, yeah. I think. Yeah. And New York Frankenfurter Expressway Laundromat, Kinney System Parking, and Scuba Steve. And this has been Sponsorship Corner.
Nice.
Yeah, a huge one. I was impressed that Cozy's is real, and like to have it confirmed in the credits even.
Yeah. Probably just a place he went for lunch a lot or something.
Yeah. So they go to McDonald's for breakfast. This is where we see Steve Buscemi.
He says it's one of the only perks of being up before 11, but it's only a perk now because they have McGriddles before 11. Can't get a McGriddle past 11 now.
I know, right? Yeah, all day breakfast my ass. Not the shit I like.
The 90s were a barbaric time where you had to walk to a laundromat and you had to wake up before 11 to enjoy McDonald's breakfast.
Well, yeah, but he finds Dark out ages. That it's actually 10:30. He forgets that weekday breakfast is different than weekend breakfast.
No!
Yeah. I wonder if this movie is the reason for all day breakfast now, though.
I doubt it. It's probably just because the Egg McMuffin is, like, ordered in the afternoon, and they're like, oh, we don't make those, or blah, 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 or people come after. I don't know.
Yeah.
I could be wrong.
It seems like looking at a movie like this, maybe it's like, oh, that could inspire that breakfast should be at least until 11 for deadbeats like Sonny Koufax.
Sure. I feel like the just breakfast with dinner fad is probably what led to that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. Yeah, what a bunch of horse shit. Get this kid a Happy Meal. Yeah, and Steve Buscemi, I do like the callback, though, where he's like, yeah, where's my sausage McMuffin? And they stop serving at 10:30.
Yeah.
I thought it was 11. I do like, you know, like the doubling up on that joke. I thought that was great.
So maybe you're right. Maybe they doubled up on it in the higher-ups listened.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're like, hey, yeah.
So Adam many Sandler people. And Steve Buscemi.
Yeah. The homeless guy forgot that he lives outside of McDonald's. He should know when breakfast switches over, you know? So we get back to the apartment. The kid ends up having a nap during the hockey game. It's kind of like a horror movie when he's eating that chip. It's like The Quiet Place. You know, like, did John Krasinski watch this and go, hey, that's a good idea for, you know, we're...
Absolutely.
That John Krasinski, big, big daddy fan.
I guess so.
Yeah.
It's there on paper.
So he decides that he's going to take the kid to meet his girlfriend, Vanessa, because that's what the kid needs. Yeah. After the kid wakes up hyper and only wants the kangaroo song.
Yeah.
You know, this kid that was like a perfect angel the day before. And so this is where we see that Vanessa has the Pepperidge Farms guy in the bathroom. Pepperidge Farms, remember?
The guy with the old balls.
The old balls. Yeah.
He's got her with that. Just showing up at your ex's place and saying we have a family now, that's a bold move.
It really is. I mean, I wonder if it's ever worked in the history of ever.
Maybe. You never know. I'm surprised the old balls line didn't work. It almost did. I could see it.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Those are old balls.
She hadn't thought it through.
Second thoughts.
She hadn't thought it through.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, though, when he doesn't get the family that he wants, he tries to return the kid.
I think you need a receipt for that.
Yeah, yeah. So, but he decides... No, like, Costco rules? No Amazon rules? Just return it willy-nilly?
Yeah, you need a receipt at least.
Okay. And so, he decides, though, that he'll hold on to the kid so that he's not put in foster care. Because Sonny, I guess, has a bit of a heart. And, okay, the social worker says, I'll give you a call when we find a family. Didn't he already have a family lined up?
Yeah, but they probably stuck him with another kid or something.
Oh.
You don't get the family lined up often. You gotta stick him with a kid before they change their mind.
That's not the one I test drove.
Like, it's Sonny.
I didn't want the yellow one. I wanted the one that...
Maybe let's not call it the yellow one.
The pink one? I didn't want the green one. I didn't want the green one. I wanted the black one. It's
maybe not the black one either.
Well,
the green and the pink one was good.
The green and the pink one, yeah.
I'd say green and blue. Pink is still a little, it's a little close. You never know.
Either way, though, I mean, it's. So
I didn't want the yellow one. I want the black one.
Yeah.
He'd be better at basketball.
Yeah.
That's what you meant, right?
What? No.
No? Sorry, I must have been reading into something. I didn't get it.
Either way, though, yes. They've already lost the family that they had lined up for this kid.
Yeah.
So I just threw me off. So he decides, yeah, he's going to keep the kid and just let the kid do whatever he wants.
Yeah, it's a heart's in the right place, I guess, but the execution, the product, leaves something to be desired.
Yeah. Frankenstein is definitely a bold choice.
Off the cuff? Like, fuck yeah. What a cool name to pick off the top of your head.
Yeah, and what has this kid already seen if he already knows Frankenstein at that age?
Right?
Yeah.
Be so cool to choose your own name.
Yeah.
Just Blade.
Blade?
Yeah. Yeah. Or I don't know, Blade's pretty cool. Saw Blade. That's cool too.
Yeah. But meanwhile, it's like I've picked email addresses 30 years ago that I'm not proud of having these days.
Fair enough.
Like, yeah.
You could change it.
I could change it. It's like, at this point, I've been using my email address so long, but it's like, well, you know,
Batman.
It's still stupid, you know, so.
Frankenstein is kind of, it's timeless, you know.
Yeah.
That's probably up there with one of the best ones you could have chose.
Yeah, I mean, you can shorten it to Frank, so.
Exactly, there you go.
Yeah. So he eats whatever he wants, wears whatever he wants, and then he starts using the kid to pick up girls. Of course.
Yeah, sure.
If you're a scumbag, what else are you going to start using this new toy for?
Yeah, right? Teach him to run up to strangers and use pre-worked on lines. Yeah.
Mm, yeah. But of course, it turns out that it's Corinne's sister, Layla, that they end up trying to pick up.
Yes.
But is he trying to stick it to Corinne?
Yeah,
is he actually interested in Layla? Like he
my headcanon is he was walking around that park and he did that to like six other women and it didn't work.
Well, exactly. So I feel like he's pursuing it awfully hard for someone that is the sister of your nemesis.
Well, he didn't know at first and he wasn't all there at that party. He was watching hockey the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And talking with his gay friends.
That he's clearly okay with.
Yeah. Now, here's part of the timeline that I don't understand is we now have the first day of school. So
I think he probably should have been in school that whole time. I think he just decided to be in school all of a sudden, and Sonny went, oh shit, yeah. You probably should be in school.
Yeah. Okay.
But also his whole philosophy is just not wanting to force anything onto him, so
yeah, it was just
maybe he thought about it at one point, but also he's got nothing but free time.
Yeah, I was mostly just double checking that it was just this kid's first day of school and not everybody's.
It had to have been.
Because, yeah, I mean, otherwise Sonny wouldn't be the only parent in the hallway.
That's the other thing, he was the only parent in the hallway. That's what made me, I think it was the middle of the school year.
Yeah. So Sonny, of course, is a predator, so he decides that to stalk this girl that wasn't really interested in him in the first place, he pulls out his freshly pressed laundry and throws it in his laundry bag so he can go stalk her.
And tries to, yeah, swindle Chasing Amy into being a mom.
Yeah, yeah. He's got to find a mom somewhere. This kid needs a mom, damn it.
And he needs a paycheck.
Yeah, he's like a husband in the 50s. That's what he is. He's useless without a wife.
Well, and he needs a woman who'll bring home the bacon, too, which is what he says later in the movie.
That's true.
Yeah.
So he needs a sugar mama. He needs a mom. He needs a mom, yeah. For himself and the child.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wonder if it's true that dented cans get, no?
I doubt it.
You doubt it? Okay.
Yeah.
They have to be on a special shelf, probably, yeah.
It's a can.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like it damaged the product inside.
Well, maybe not.
Like, it's not like a TV with a dent in the box. Or
that's true.
Like, even the, I guess they do, like, damaged Lego box deals, but that's just because I think collectors are all about having that pristine box.
Mm, yes. Yeah, I mean,
I'm all about having that pristine box, too, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was right there. I had to.
But some of the refurbished shit that I've gotten from Amazon before where it's like, oh, that's not a good-looking box.
Right.
That's that box is messy.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Shipped all over the world. Who knows where it comes from?
God. Who knows how many hands have been all over that box?
Port to port.
Yeah. I mean, and some machinery. Some machinery has been machinery. Up in that box. Yeah.
Doctors.
So, yeah. So, initiating the conversation is half the battle. So, yeah, so we get a... Yes, we run into Corinne and we're getting, and we find out that, we get the grocery shopping where he runs into Koreans. Fuck my voice.
Koreans. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, that's Corinne. Somehow, though, Sunny manages to get another date out of Layla. I don't know why she, for someone that said immediately off the bat that she's not interested in dating right now. He keeps pushing his agenda.
He's got that Adam Sandler charm, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Yeah. And we, like, because we get the whole squirrel and rabbit story, which
just
is
fucking awful.
Yeah.
Just made my skin crawl. What a dumb scene.
The rabbit really wanted to kiss the squirrel.
Actually, the squirrel thinks you're really fucking pushy and you should leave me alone. I don't know why I came here.
Yeah. I do like the teacher at the school. I've had smelly ones before, but yours is by far the smelliest.
Damn.
Yeah. He finds out that he's got the smelly kid, and instead of, like, actually being a parent, he instead manipulates the child by pretending to be the father of the kid's favorite toy, Scuba Steve.
He pulls off the outfit. That's crazy. He probably had to make that like a cosplayer.
Yeah.
But
like, you don't just have that lying around.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. That vest. You can't thrift that. You can't.
What a coincidence. I had the Scuba Steve scuba suit.
Yeah. Did they base this off this Tommy Hilfiger line I already bought? Yeah.
The official onesie, the official Tommy Hilfiger onesie. Comes with flippers.
But he can't tell the kid what to do. That's his whole philosophy.
That's right.
So manipulation is key.
Mm-hmm. But you can't tell him about me. So now you've also got this kid. You're teaching him deception on
deception,
top of everything.
Lying, yeah. Keeping secrets.
Yeah, yeah. Some adult comes into your life and tells you to keep this a secret.
Yes.
That's what you're teaching this kid.
Yeah, strange man wanders in from the hallway.
Yeah, says, take a bath.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Definitely not a good lesson.
And take it easy on the delivery guy. It's not his fault he can't read.
Took me a second to realize that was Adam Sandler, but...
Seriously?
Well, yeah, he's got a whole thing on his face. He's doing a voice. When I say a second, I mean like a second. I don't mean like... I sat through the whole scene and went, wait a second, is that Adam Sandler? Come on, give me some credit.
So we get the montage of all the corrections to raising the child that they're doing, the child behavior modification of this movie. Right. So now instead of throwing sticks in the path of rollerbladers, we're holding up signs that say danger curve.
And then we still get to laugh because it's their ignorance that leads to their downfall.
I mean, at the very least, with all the pee jokes that there are in this movie, there could have been one of them scrubbing the wall by the restaurant or something.
Meh.
Okay.
That one, meh.
No. No, they don't need to make up for that sin.
Learns to go to the bathroom or whatever. That's
true.
Sin,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
We all did terrible things. Mom tells a story of when I first learned how to go to the bathroom. We went to the water park, and apparently I stood up on this large platform, dropped my pants right around my ankles, and pissed like 10 feet down into the water below.
Nice.
So, you know, we all do things at a young age.
I didn't know that story.
Now you do.
Yeah.
You know the West Side Water Park? There's like that raised part in the kiddie section. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Pissed right off that into the water, yeah.
Outstanding.
And then it was difficult because, you know, I'm learning how to pee. I technically did the right thing, pull my pants down. I just did it in the wrong spot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a hard one to discipline. Yeah. But after all this good deeding that he does to try to get this kid on the straight and narrow.
Sorry. Now that I think about it, though, it's not this kid being ignorant. It's he was like blatantly taught that this is. Yeah, when someone pisses us off or doesn't let us use their bathroom, we piss on their establishment.
Yeah.
I think the scene would have broken up the flow of the movie, but...
Well, just as part of the montage,
a terrible, terrible lesson to teach that kid, just bottom line.
Yeah.
Just be an asshole to people who are slightly inconvenience you. It's not even like they're being... It's just our restaurant's policy is to not... Which, fair enough, New York City... Downtown, probably a lot of sketchy people wandering. Can I use your bathroom? Trying to shoot up in there or something like that.
Probably,
and like,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Buy something and then you can shoot up in my bathroom, but I better get paid for it.
Yeah, maybe we should just have breakfast here. The McMuffin can wait.
Yeah. McDonald's breakfast, pretty good.
I've got run over by a cab.
Plus, he's trying to spread that out, though.
Yeah, that's true. He does have to make it last a little bit.
He's only got one shift a week.
McDonald's is the better choice. Yeah. But after all the montage, this is when the child services guy shows up. And this is where Sonny realizes that he was called Mr. Koufax. And that's not right. This man should know him as Kevin Garrity.
Also, I feel like social workers, there's no way this old dude just shows, like, that could be a very confrontational environment, right? Like, you try to take someone's kid.
There are police downstairs.
They're like clearly in like the top floor of this weird, because they've got this weird tall penthouse.
Even at the end of the hallway would be better than downstairs.
Exactly.
Yeah, he doesn't have to be shoulder to shoulder.
I get
with
not
this
wanting
guy,
to scare the kid, but I feel like sending a social worker in alone. That's true. I feel like the cops would have to be there.
Yeah, is he even wearing a wire? Like, does he even have like a headpiece that he's?
It's 1999.
Earpiece? Yeah, let me.
The earpiece extends out of the bottom of the phone like the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, he starts. That's exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Like one of the. Yeah. The big ones.
Yeah.
So the kid gets taken away, but he can wipe his own ass. And then he goes to Layla with the most unreasonable part of this movie.
It blew my mind.
Where it's like she has some very solid points about the fact that they've only been in this relationship for a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And she wasn't looking for a relationship. Like,
yeah.
You know, and now you want me to like just uproot everything that I'm
Give
doing
you
for
free legal representation.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just got out of law school. You think I'm going to get anywhere with free legal representation?
Yeah. And I even hate the fact that she does show up. Like, it,
just so fucking stupid.
It's a little disappointing. Yeah, she does show up. Like, even if you were to show up, I'm here for the kid, not you. would have been a better, you know, like.
But then they fall in love and blah blah blah. So there's no moral to this story. It's just the unfortunate part. It's just Sonny did a stupid thing, no repercussions, and he walks away scot-free and doesn't have to learn from his actions in the end.
Yeah. So Sonny ends up with, for this child, for getting this child that he frauded his way into getting, he's got like the OJ legal team going on. Like he's got, you know, like the huge corporate panel of lawyers behind him.
Yeah, just absurd. It's like he's a drink corporation or something. Yeah. Coca-Cola going to court.
Exactly. Yeah. Or McDonald's with hot coffee in a lap or something.
There you go.
And it's nothing but a parade of terrible character witnesses, you know, the homeless guy bribed with a bag of McDonald's.
The judge would have thrown this case out.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you drunk right now?
Yeah.
I had a couple drinks. Yeah. We'll excuse this witness. Yeah. Just nothing but terrible witnesses.
I can't believe Sonny went to law school.
Yeah.
Like he has an understanding of all this, but it's just like it makes sense that he got all the money out of that, but just so stupid. This guy's a fucking idiot.
Mm-hmm.
Of course this blew up in his face.
Yeah.
But
his dad, though, did come to watch the trial. Just wanted to make sure that they didn't end up giving him a child. And so he now joins the legal team.
On the side of the prosecution for a second.
No, well,
and then on the side of the defense in the end.
Yeah. Yeah, so
are they the prosecutor? I don't know.
If I can convince that man. I do like that the dad takes the opportunity to like get all these confessions out of his son.
Yeah, just roast the shit out of him in front of everybody.
Yeah.
It's like if you walked up there and went, "Remember that time you pissed into the water park? That wasn't very cool of you." Like, just like, okay, what's the relevance to, why are we bringing this up in court?
Well, it wasn't even that. I mean, it was...
Hid pot in his sock drawer or whatever.
Yeah, I like the one, you know, why weren't you at your grandmother's funeral or whatever?
Aunt's funeral.
You know, things like... It just... I like that there might be a couple questions that have been nagging all these years.
Right, and
that,
he's on the bench and he has to answer under oath.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when he's on the stand, they say that the kid's been living there for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So the absolute most that Sonny could be hanging out with Layla is 6 weeks. But on the stand, he says that he has a sugar mama that he loves, who's going to take care of him. And it's like, you're awfully presumptuous for... You're lucky she showed up to this court date.
Yeah. Just just crazy. The, like, arrogance, the audacity. Just this character is just awful.
Mm-hmm.
She's a terrible... Just a terrible guy.
Well, and the thing about the argument, like the fact that Sonny's dad turns on him, Sonny said nothing to convince him about why he should have this. All he did was like psychologize his dad. He was like, "You don't have to be afraid, Dad." Like that's that's his way of getting out of it. He just turns it around on his dad. "Don't be afraid, Dad. Don't be afraid to say I love you," or whatever it is that he says.
Yeah.
And that's when his dad's like, "Yeah, this guy should have a kid.
That judge should lose her license."
Yeah. Yeah. And everyone starts making phone calls because, you know, they miss their dads.
That's what I said. Sonny's still a shithead. There's no moral. What is the moral? Call your dad. Like, he did just, kidnap a kid, and then finally Jon Stewart steps up to settle the...
Well, yeah, thankfully this movie isn't dumb enough to say, "Hey, everything's okay now. Sure, you can have the kid." Like, at least they weren't dumb enough. They're like, whoa.
Yeah, just give
hold
it to
up,
a
motherfucker.
Stranger.
Yeah, you still got a couple of other charges to answer for here. Yeah. You defrauded... the state of New York. Yeah. And so, yeah, this is when Jon Stewart, he finally steps up. I love the line of, you know, Canadian beers like moonshine.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the apartment, like the game that he's talking about, the, that he had to go to Toronto, the World Series that they went to.
Right.
There is a Sports Illustrated cover in the apartment that shows Joe Carter, like a walk-off home run that Joe Carter had in that game, in the game that he's referring to. So this was obviously a very big moment in Kevin Garrity's life.
Right.
That it's just kind of, it's a neat little touch that this Sports Illustrated cover actually refers to the exact
the
same
game
story
that he went to, yeah.
And, you know, the conception of young Frankenstein.
Young Frankenstein. Also makes an appearance in this movie.
That's true. And so he refuses to press any charges.
Could have saved us all of those. And the other thing I got to point out about this court battle that really pissed me off is he stacks his fucking legal team, which only leaves nothing but the weirdos and the goofballs to be his witnesses. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just one fucking lawyer and leave the rest of the lawyers to be your witnesses. They know how to be witnesses.
They're good character witnesses.
They know.
They're lawyers.
But no, you get the one coherent witness you get is the girl who fucking hates you.
You get the drunk barfly. you get the homeless guy. You get the illegal alien that delivers your food.
Just ridiculous, this movie.
Yeah. At the end, we've got a year later, and Sonny's a lawyer.
Passed the bar, yeah.
Yeah, and he now has his own kid. And,
so
stupid. They're having a congratulations party at Hooters, of course.
Of course.
I haven't mentioned enough about Hooters in this, except for in Sponsorship Corner, leaning into the Hooters of it all.
Oh, you mean his constant sexist line of...
His obsession with, Corinne having worked at Hooters at one point in her life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Frankenstein's mom worked at Hooters at one point.
Yeah, she's the only one that's not a lawyer, but she is. She's like a teacher, isn't she, or something? No, she's...
I don't remember. She just had cancer, and they met her at a Hooters.
Yeah. No, yeah, she's the one that's not a lawyer, though. But she... Oh, she's a doctor. That's right. Yeah.
No,
no. Dr. Big
Corinne
Bougie.
Is. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Corinne,
yeah.
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 I thought you were talking about Frankenstein's mom. That's what I said.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she... No, she was
a Hooters waitress. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, because he has a type.
Yeah, Corinne's a doctor now, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and we get to run into the ex-girlfriend, of course, as well.
Our last, little...
To see how her life has gotten terrible.
Of course, because she didn't end up with Adam.
She could have had Sonny Koufax.
Bronze god Sandler, yeah.
Life would have been okay.
Just amazing. No,
no
old balls.
Old balls, and
who became head chef at Hooters? Probably not hard to. Probably hard to do.
It
so
might be. Yeah.
She's the one who really lost out.
Yeah. And
then, come on, the Sonny she knew wouldn't have become a fucking lawyer and dad material. Just so undeserved. No moral to the story. Just what a fucking way to end it. Just stupid.
Yeah, and this kid, I mean, I know it's been a year, but, he's, Corinne is mommy.
Yeah.
What's she talking about, mommy? You know, it's a...
We gotta show character progression. It's been a year.
Yeah, it's been a whole year. And there we go. That is Big Daddy. Yeah, at the end of the credits, there's a thank you note that says this movie is dedicated to our fathers. Thanks for putting up with all our crap. We love you. And then it says a note to Cozy's. Adam also enjoys your hamburgers. So that's right at the end of the credits. That's where it shouts out Cozy's, the diner that the vaguely ethnic Rob Schneider works at. And there we go. That is Big Daddy. Now, Chris, on IMDb, it scored 6.4 out of 10, has a Metascore of 42. On Rotten Tomatoes, it has 39% on the tomato meter. Ouch.
Yeah.
And an audience rating of 74. But, Chris, those are just numbers. Like a wiping out rollerblader because he's tripped over a stick. Hit us with some reviews.
Alrighty. So I chose 2 1-star reviews and 2 10-star reviews. What do you want to start with?
Go back and forth.
Alrighty.
Start with a 1, do a 10, then a 1, and then a 10.
Let's start with we'll do it the opposite way. 10, 1, 10, 1, because I want to end with this 1, 1.
Okay.
Okay. 10 out of 10. Big Daddy, the best movie ever. October 14th, 2006 by... King Chump 666. notable internet reviewer KingChump666.
Like I said, you know, sometimes we regret choices that we pick for names later on down the road.
That's a solid nickname.
You like
nickname.
That one? That's a solid handle for you?
Quite simply, the greatest movies of all time. The Dugan-Sandler partnership in full flow. Rob Schneider, absolute genius. Kirstie Swanson, performance of a lifetime. And Cole Sprouse, well, it was the role he was born to play. The casting is inspired. The editing, the best in movie history. And the narrating even inspired The Shawshank Redemption. Is there narrating in this movie?
Yeah, I was going to question that as well.
It inspired The Shawshank Redemption. It's iconic, slick, cool, over-violent, sick, all screwed into one great movie. Is there really anything else that needs to be said about this film, which is the greatest ever and by far much superior, that the great yet overloved... So they, I think they messed up here, but I'll translate it for them. Is there really anything else that needs to be said about this film, which is the greatest ever and by far much superior than the great yet overloved Matrix Reloaded? That's a hard sentence to say. There's no punctuation in that at all. The film has no acting flaws whatsoever. If there is a flaw, it's the fact that the budget isn't large enough. 0 out of 3 found this helpful.
What? Yeah. What movie did he watch?
Yeah, there's a few things. He must have had something playing on his phone at the same time. I don't know. But 2006. I don't know. Maybe Bejeweled got a little violent.
Maybe. I don't know. It's
all over the map, that one.
Yeah, I don't know whether he's being sarcastic or not. I mean, action scenes and what the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, the Shawshank Redemption thing really threw me for a loop, so I had to grab that one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so people that give a 10 out of 10 stars are clearly insane.
Yes.
Okay.
And the people who give it 1 out of 10 stars, switching over to the other side of the spectrum, have way too much to say and too much time on their hands. Okay. It was hard to find a short one.
Yeah.
So I've picked one short one here. yeah. 1 out of 10. The title for this one is Loser.
Okay.
By Taron Sage, 22nd of December 2021.
Oh, okay, recent.
The movie is about a total loser in life, teaching a child to be a total loser in life. How can anyone think that is funny? Evil, yes. Funny, no. Hollywood has become Holly Weird. 1 out of 7 found this helpful. So there's one of your 1 out of 10. The rest of the 1 out of 10s, they're all fucking essays about Adam Sandler's career as a whole, this movie.
It's a transcription of the podcast.
It's a big, it was a lot to sift through the lower end reviews.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Another 10 out of 10 review. This one's called by Bevo-13678 on the 30th March 2020. I like the bit where they did a wee on the door. Nobody does comedy like Adam Sandler. 7 out of 14 found this helpful.
I like the part when they... Now, I mean, March 2020, that guy's like, I'm just jealous that he was outside to pee. You know?
Exactly, yeah.
He got to go to a restaurant.
This dude locked himself in for the pandemic and started to write reviews for movies, I guess.
Yeah.
Big Daddy top among them. March is like when it started. End of March, yeah.
Yeah, he's on to the Adam Sandler catalog. Yeah. And he's like 5 movies in, he's on to Big Daddy.
I like the bit where they did a wee on the door.
A wee on the door, yeah.
50% of people find that helpful. That's
a staggering amount that find that helpful.
Well, some probably want to, they're looking for where to do a poo, maybe. 50-50, you know.
Well, that's in the Quickie Mart, isn't it? Ba-dum-bum.
Nice. Switching back to the lower end of the spectrum. This is a long quote, and we'll end with the stars. And the reviewer and all that.
Okay.
Big Daddy is a film about a seriously disturbed slacker who adopts a 5-year-old and tutors him in cynicism, cruel practical jokes, and antisocial behavior. It's not every film where an adult role model throws himself in front of a moving car just to cheer the kid up. Which, this is my answer, but that really makes you think about this whole cab settlement thing.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
in front of a moving car just to cheer the kid up. Man, this you who is good, the adult tells the tyke, you know what else is good? Smoking dope. On the way down in the elevator after the Big Daddy screening, a fellow critic speculated that the line about weed was intended not as a suggestion, but as a feeler. The hero, who subtly was trying to figure out, oh, the hero was subtly trying to find out if the kid and his friends were into drugs. I submit that so few five-year-olds are into drugs that it's not a problem, and that some older kids in the audience will not interpret the line as a subtle feeler. Big Daddy should be reported to the Child Welfare Office. Roger Ebert. 1.5 stars.
Yeah.
I figured that'd be a good one to end on.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Rest in peace.
Yeah, he's worried that people are going to go start cruising the playgrounds to try to sell some dope.
There was so many paragraphs I cut out of this. I put the last sentence in the first paragraph. Yeah. So Big Daddy should be reported to the Child Welfare Office is what he ended it with. But
nice.
I just loved the, I submit that so few five-year-olds are into drugs that it's not a problem.
Yeah.
It's like it needed to be put on paper.
It's true. It's true.
That's his issue with the start of the movie. That's the first thing. Like, it's not even like the beginning of the movie that it's like, oh, that would be at the beginning of your review.
Yeah.
That's like the one thing that him and a reviewer talked about on the way down in the elevator was, kids don't smoke weed. Why was he talking about weed?
At least he stopped at weed. At least it wasn't like, well, you know what I like? Math.
He does accuse the kids of drinking rum at some point, too.
That's true. Yeah. Yeah, keep it clean.
Yeah, kids who drink booze lose.
Right on. Oh, boy. Yeah. This conversation is, you know, it's opened my eyes. This is one of those ones, it still made me laugh as I went through it. And that's all that mattered to me is, I know it's not a great movie. It did get me in the feels still in a few places. When the kid gets taken away, that is like a legitimately heartbreaking moment. You know, even though like it's all made with the joke of, I can wipe my own ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, you know, it shows this kid that's desperate trying to pull anything off. I will praise Cole and or Dylan Sprouse, whoever is
whichever
scene, because they are a likable child actor.
Funny, yeah.
Yeah, we've seen some terrible ones on the show. We've seen some great ones. And I think for their age, especially, I think they did a fantastic job.
Credit where credit's due.
Yeah. It's still an Adam Sandler that I like. It's not one of the ones that I hate. Like, you know, there are the ones that are like that's my boys. I now pronounce you Chuck and Larry's of the world. You know, they're
Zohan.
Yeah, there are the B Adam Sandler movies. I think this is in the A. You know, the B's, the C's, the D's. I think this one is on the higher end, but it's definitely no Happy Gilmore or Wedding Singer or, you know, like some of the really big ones.
Yeah.
I think I even preferred Mr. Deeds a little bit more than this one. But
that's a good example, yeah.
I still have a lot of fun with it. But watching it critically, oh boy, this movie falls apart more than it ever has for me in my entire life on this viewing. So
it's like technically a story that makes sense.
Yeah.
It's a story that has plot holes in the sense that like a person with common sense would have figured this out, but
yeah.
For
me it was good for some laughs, but I understand that it's a 6 out of 10 movie, if that, right? You know?
Yeah.
I get that. Yeah.
Yeah, not my it's lacking the like blatant silliness of other
Powers?
Well, not Austin Powers.
Other
no.
Adam Sandler.
Yeah, other like Happy Gilmore. We have there are some feeling-ish moments, but then we have Carl Weathers falling out of a window because he sees the crocodile, or Bob Barker beating the fuck out of Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. Like these blatantly silly moments. Even Wedding Singer is pretty silly, and then it also has that feeling aspect, but yeah, it just the whole they really deflated the feelings part of this movie for me with the it was just funny for him to.
But I think at this point, like I'm trying to think of where I'm trying to think of his filmography exactly. Maybe I should pull that up.
Yeah, I had to pull up a few because I was also for my Adam Sandler bingo card sheet because he's always playing rich guys.
Yeah, because if I just went off of my own knowledge of Adam Sandler, I would say that before this, he had already done The Waterboy and like some of these Little Nicky, some of these ones where he's gone off the rails of what, you know, this was kind of his chance to be human again.
Right.
You know, yeah, the Wedding Singer was 98. The Waterboy was 98. Happy Gilmore and Billy Madison, of course. Little Nicky was 2000. Okay, so Little Nicky was after this one.
Well, yeah, in the 2000s when we start getting isn't that where the trilogy of like Zohan and That's My Boy and Little Nicky, don't they come out like back to back to back or something?
Mr. Deeds, Anger Management.
Right, okay, yeah, I love Anger Management, yeah.
51st Punch State, Spanglish, Longest Yard. Click Rain Over Me. So it's Chuck and Larry, Zohan.
Oh, right, yeah.
Bedtime Stories, maybe.
Fair enough. Yeah. Bedtime Stories, too. Yeah. I liked it when I was little, but.
Yeah. And then we get into the Grown Ups of it all.
The Grown Ups of it all.
Yeah, I was just kind of wondering whether this was his chance to, hey, I want to be a normal guy again, because I thought maybe he had already done Little Nicky and Waterboy.
Right.
But it looks like he only did Waterboy. So, I don't know. Yeah, this is still when everything that he did in a movie was yelling, though. He got out of his yelly phase after a little while.
Every Adam Sandler thing, he has, anger management problems.
You gotta have, what a bunch of horse shit. It's almost like after he did Anger Management, that's when he calmed down.
Right.
You know, Anger Management and Punch Drunk.
Got the yelling out of his system.
Got all the yelling out of his system. Yeah. So, I mean, for you, you don't even have the fondness that I do, though, I guess. Yeah, you're just...
Not my favorite. I don't have a nostalgia attached to it. I'd much rather watch a Happy Gilmore.
There we go. That is Big Daddy, and that's our show for this week. Oh, boy. If you like that show, well, tell people. Word of mouth is so important for a podcast. You know, it's so much more personal when you go and tell someone, hey, there's this show that I like, maybe you'd like it, why don't you check it out? Means so much more. Or if you want to go over to whatever app you listen to your podcast on and give us some stars, we would love stars. We love stars. As many stars as you can give. Help drive us up some charts. Help us get noticed. Or if you want to be a producer of the show and get a shout out and donate to us, go over to patreon.com/IUsedToLikeThisOne. Become part of our Patreon family and you get a shout out like Joshua Blum of the 13th Hour Podcast. And of course, if you would like to contact us, IUsedToLikeThisOne@gmail.com. Check out our website at IUsedToLikeThisOne.com. Follow us on social medias. We're on all of them. I don't use some of them, but I am on all of them. You'll find me. And of course, music by Lyndon Carter. Look for his band, Carter in the Capitals, anywhere you listen to music. Oh boy, Daddy Issues Month. One more left. And I'm taking this completely sideways from this joy that we've had all month, because I want to do something that's going to be controversial, I'm sure. I want to do Ghost Dad. I've just had this craving to watch Ghost Dad. Now, I say controversial because it does, of course, star Mr. Jell-O Pudding Pop himself.
Mm.
Yes, the imprisoned Bill Cosby. So that's why I know, but you know, a lot of other people worked on this film, and really, I did love Bill Cosby when I was younger, so this was a huge movie of my childhood, so we're gonna have to dance around the...
Just looking at this now, it says, directed by Brett Ratner, produced by Harvey Weinstein. This is a good...
Right, Kevin Spacey's in this as well, isn't he?
Yeah, he plays an extra.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah, so this is going to be one of those ones where it might be a little challenging to dance around the artist versus art situation of it all, but, I mean...
As long as there's no blatant comments about it.
But, yeah, I mean, we're dealing with a different kind of dad this time, a different kind of dead dad, and, of course... You know, he also has some issues.
Monster dad in a different kind of way.
It really fits into the Daddy Issues Month in a much more twisted way. So
yikes.
So there we go. Until next week when we watch Ghost Dad, I'm Sean Wells.
I'm Chris Wells.
And we'll see you then on I Used to Like This One.
Ooh. Ghosts.
I ain't afraid of no ghost. Except maybe that one if he offers me a drink.
Yeah.